Good morning. So enjoyed that special. Sit there and I wish there were more verses. I could just sit and listen and listen. Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Begin reading in verse 1 down through verse 11. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dispensation and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And they would come to Jerusalem. They were received of the church of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. I want us to consider this question this morning. How shall we be saved? How shall we be saved? Now in verse 1 we see how quickly, how easily works religion can rear its ugly head, even among God's people. Certain men, it says, which came down from Judea. Now these weren't brethren. That's not what it says. It says certain men. They taught a false gospel. And they didn't just say you need to be circumcised like Moses. They said except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved. They tied some form of work. They tied something. Except you be circumcised like Moses, you cannot be saved. You cannot be healed. You cannot be preserved. You cannot be made whole. Let's stop right there and let's consider what the Scriptures say. Over in Romans chapter 3, turn there with me. Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 19. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith. It saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, all the world may become guilty before God. Read on. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, by circumcision, by keeping of so-called religious days, by doing so-called righteous works, by the deeds of the law, by what you do, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. You might be justified, we might be justified in the eyes of men by what we do and what we don't do. But in the eyes of God, he says, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. These certain men, they said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. But the scriptures clearly declare, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. The law cannot save. The law cannot justify. It cannot give us a righteousness. No, no. It can only shut our mouths and declare us guilty before Almighty God. The law can only reveal our sin and our depravity. The law can only shut us up to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in our text, look at Acts 15, verse 2. It says, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. Paul and Barnabas didn't let this go. They didn't say, well, these men mean well. They came over from whatever place. They mean well. We'll just let this go. No. Now, twice in Galatians we read, if any man preach any other gospel unto you other than that which you've received, how serious a matter is this? Let him be accursed. These certain men, they were perverting the gospel of Christ, which is no gospel. It's a false gospel. It's no gospel. And we read that Paul and Barnabas, they would go up to Jerusalem. They'd go up to the apostles and the elders about this question. Look at verse 3. And they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Maybe they told them of the conversion of Cornelius. Back there in Acts chapter 10. Turn back a few pages to Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 22 of Acts 10. Cornelius. They said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. This Cornelius, this centurion, a just man, he feared God. He was of good report among those around him. But something's different about Cornelius. He was warned of God. He was warned of God to send for Peter and have the word preached to him. Look at verse 33 there. What did Cornelius say when they arrived? He said, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore, we're all here present. All here present before God to hear all things that are commanded to thee of God. That's why we gather together, isn't it? We gather together to hear the message of God's servant. To hear a message from Almighty God. God Himself, may He be pleased to speak to us this morning. And every time we gather together as a people. And listen, look at verse 24 here. Cornelius, look what it says here of him. It says here he called together his kinsmen. He called his family together. He wanted his family to hear the same message that he was hearing. It says he called together his near friends. His friends, maybe some of his neighbors. This message. Don't we desire? We're thankful that the Lord's pleased to open our ears to hear, opened our hearts to receive it. What a thing that would be if he was pleased to. Don't we have family that we'd love to hear this gospel? Friends that we'd love to hear this gospel. Cornelius, no doubt, he said, come on over. I've got a fella comes gonna preach the gospel, and you need to hear. Oh, he wanted them to hear what Peter had to say. And look what Peter had to say. Look at beginning with verse 34 of Acts 10. It said, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we're witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him, God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses, chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spoke, while he spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, and they answered Peter. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they prayed him to tarry certain days. They didn't want him to leave after that. Wanted him to stay there and continue to preach to them. Peter preached the gospel of grace to them. You see that in verse 36. The Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, of whom we have peace. Peace with God. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. The Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed of God. Look at verse 39. The Lord Jesus Christ, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Christ crucified. Christ who died for our sins. Verse 40. The Lord Jesus Christ, whom God raised up. He showed him openly. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He was pleased with his offering for sin. Verse 41, he showed him openly. He revealed him. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses. Chosen before of God. Revealed unto his people. Revealed unto his sheep. Verse 42, the Lord Jesus Christ, ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. Verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness. This Old Testament, this book, it's a book about him. It reveals the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of him. That whosoever, Jew, Gentile, bond, free, whosoever believeth in him, his chosen people, whosoever believeth in him shall have the remission of sins. Paul, writing to Timothy, he said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. He's able. And listen, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them that heard the word. And here's an amazing thing. They believed. Isn't it? Think about that. They believed. How often? How many times did we hear this word? And then it came a time when God was pleased to reveal it to us. We believed. Gave us faith to believe. And in verse 48, we read they were commanded to be baptized, to confess Christ in believer's baptism. Well, turn back to Acts 15. Verse 3, Paul and Barnabas, they declared the conversion of the Gentiles. And that caused great joy unto all the brethren. They rejoiced knowing that the gospel was preached. Rejoiced that gospel was being spread about. Rejoiced in the salvation of sinners, that God was pleased to save one more sinner. One of our brothers called us last night from down Tennessee. They were preparing for a baptism this morning. Doesn't that just cause our hearts to rejoice? Knowing that God's been pleased to save a sinner? The Scriptures declare that there is, listen, it should cause joy among us. The Scriptures declare there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner. Oh, what an amazing thing that is, that God would be pleased to save a sinner. That God would be pleased to save me. Let's read on here. Look at verse 4. And they were come to Jerusalem. They were received to the church and the apostles and elders. And they declared all things that God had done with them. And there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. So here they are, all gathered together. Look at verse 7. When there had been much disputing, a lot of questions, a lot of discussion, a lot of talk, probably arguing on both sides. I believe this should be this way. I believe that. Look what happened here. Peter rose up. I don't know this, but I suspect when Peter stood up, all eyes probably turned on him. All that disputing and all that discussing and carrying on, Peter stood up, and it may have taken a minute, but I believe everybody in that room turned and they looked at Peter. You know, I was thinking about this. When that mob came for our Lord in the garden, it was Peter that drew out a sword and cut that fellow's ear off, cut Malchus's ear off. Here in Acts 15, Peter speaking to this group, he says, men and brethren, he said, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. God made a choice. You see that? God, not man. God made a choice. God does the choosing. Over in Ephesians 1, verse 4, we read, according as He hath chosen us in Him. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Who did the choosing? God did the choosing. God made choice. The Gentiles, they're going to hear the gospel and believe. Just like we read about Cornelius there a little bit ago. Verse 8, and God which knoweth the hearts, God knows the heart. Boy, Peter. Boy, if anybody knew about this, it was Peter, wasn't it? Peter knew this by revelation. Peter knew this by experience. Peter, who like the rest of the disciples, said, I'll die with you. I'll die with you before I deny you. And yet he denied the Lord three times. And the third time he heard that rooster crow and he remembered what the Lord had said to him. And later our Lord asked Peter. He said, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Well, it sure wouldn't look like it on the surface, would it? Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, he said, you know all things. You know I love you. God knows the heart. And he bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Huh? God knows the heart. Remember what God told Samuel back there in the Old Testament? Huh? He said, the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Man looketh on the outward appearance. You know, we're guilty of that. We look at people and we make a pretty quick decision based on their appearance. And I imagine sometimes that's probably good. But we don't know the heart, do we? And we can dress up and we can look nice and we can present ourselves well. That's not how God looks at man. Huh? God looks on the heart. Look at verse 9. And he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. No difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord. He's Lord over all. He's rich unto all that call upon him. All have sinned. We're all guilty of the same sin. We share the same redemption. There's no difference, is there? Christ having redeemed us by his blood. A people out of every kindred, nation, tribe, and tongue under heaven. No difference. The same blessings of pardon and justification. Same blessing of adoption. We're all adopted. All of his sheep, all of his children, his by adoption. Our sins forgiven through the same blood, the same cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by the same righteousness. Huh? Called by the same gospel. And no more strangers, but fellow citizens, the saints of the household of God. One family, one flock. No difference between us and them. Purifying their hearts by faith. The heart, that which is the scriptures declared desperately wicked. This desperately wicked heart. Jeremiah wrote, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God can cleanse it. Only God can give a new heart. Over in Ezekiel, he said, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I'll give you a heart. I'll give you a new heart. Back to our text, Acts 15, verse 10. He says, now, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither we or our fathers are able to bear? A yoke or a burden that we're unable to bear. Not just circumcision, but the whole law. No man's able to keep the law. None but one. None but the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, to offend, how many times have we heard that? To offend in one point, just one little point, is to be guilty of the whole law. The law is, and the problem's not the law. The law's perfect. That's not where the problem is. The problem is this flesh. This flesh. The flesh is not it. Listen, the law reveals what we are. The law reveals our sin. And it's just and right. God is just and right to condemn us. There's no question. There's no question about that. Rightfully so. It can only condemn. We read this earlier. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. Paul said, I don't frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, if righteousness could truly come by the law, there's no, Christ died in vain. Christ didn't die in vain, did He? Huh? Back to the question. How is a man saved? Jew, Gentile, bond, free, young, old, rich, poor? How are we saved? Look at Acts 15. Look at verse 11. Here's the conclusion. Here's the answer. Peter says this, but we believe. What do we believe, Peter? We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Even as they. Now quickly, let's look at four points here. Okay? And the first is this, man's condition. What is man's condition? What's my condition? It's lost. We're lost. Huh? And based on that, we must be saved. We're dead in trespasses and sin. And listen, the fact that we're lost reveals we must be saved. It declares our fallen state. When Peter was walking on the sea, he saw those waves. Remember that? When Peter was walking on, he saw those waves, and he was afraid, and he began to sink. Remember his cry? Lord, save me. You know, if Peter would have managed to stay up on the water, he may never made out that cry, would he? He's sinking. Lord, save me. If you leave me to myself, isn't that our cry? If left to ourselves, I'm going to perish. There's no hope. There's no hope for me outside of Christ. No need of being saved if you're not lost. And that's what we are. In our lost and ruined condition, we must be saved. Rex, you read of Lazarus back there. Open the service. And there he lay in the ground 4 days, stinking. That's us. That's every one of us by nature. Until the Master speaks life. Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth. That's a story of every true believer. Dead in trespasses and sin. That's where he finds his people. And he speaks in power, Lazarus, come forth. Second, salvation by grace. Salvation by grace. That's what we read here. Salvation by the sovereign grace of God. We believe. Peter, what did you say? We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Peter didn't say by the deeds of the law. Peter didn't say, he said, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. What does the Scripture, what do we read throughout the Scriptures? We read of His grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift. It's the gift of God. Electing grace. Redeeming grace. Justifying grace. Saving grace. Keeping grace. Sovereign grace. The old hymn writer, saved by grace alone. This is all my plea. Jesus died for sinful men. Jesus died for me. Man's sin, my sin. We must be saved. Salvation by the free and sovereign grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And third, perseverance. We shall. You see that? We shall be saved. God's pleased to save, we're saved. That's what the Scriptures teach us. He said the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, He said this of His sheep, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We read, He that hath begun a good work in you. I start a lot of projects. Sometimes I finish them. Sometimes I don't. My garage is one of them. He that hath begun the good work in you, what God starts, He finishes it. He'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, and he said, this is Mary. He said, she's going to bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. No questions about that. Turn with me over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. Beginning with verse 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by what? Kept by who? Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Kept by the power of God. And fourth, Peter says this, we shall be saved even as they. Even as they. A disciple will be saved just like a Gentile. Spurgeon once preached a message titled, The Sermon for the Worst Man on Earth. That's the message we need, isn't it? And look how he says this. We shall be saved even as they. I heard Abby's mom say this one time. We're all born clothed in self-righteousness. We think of that. But isn't that true? We're born clothed in self-righteousness. And we have a tendency to say, yeah, the Lord's pleased to save that man. He'll save him just like he did me. It makes it sound a little better. Maybe a little more palatable, doesn't it? We don't necessarily look at ourselves as the chief of sinners, as the worst of sinners. He says we're going to be saved just like they are. Take the worst of sinners. It takes the same power to save me. I'm going to be saved just like he is. Just like she is. Over in John chapter 8. Turn there with me. Early in the morning, John 8, verse 2. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the temple. All the people came unto him, and he sat down, and he taught them. And this is me and Abby were talking about this. We forget this sometimes. These things really happen. This really happened. A group of scribes and Pharisees, they brought a woman to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they set her down in the midst of him and all those people gathered together. And this woman had been taken in adultery. In fact, when they tempted our Lord, they said she was taken in the very act of adultery. Kind of interesting that there's no mention of the man that was involved in this. Maybe he's a friend of theirs. Maybe he was someone of influence. Maybe he was one of them. We don't know that. And they said this. They said the law says that such should be stoned. I'd ask you this. Would you be under the law? Do you hear what those that would be under the law, do you not hear what the law says? And they were tempting him. They were looking for an opportunity to accuse him. Hold your place there and turn to Leviticus. What does the law say? We need to be careful what we hear. Look at Leviticus 20, verse 10. What does the law say in this case? The man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery and his neighbor's wife, what's the law say? The adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. But they just brought the woman before him. Well, we read that the Lord, when this happened, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. He stooped down. Think about that. The Lord stooped down. Boy, if there was ever a truth written, it's written in just a few words there, isn't it? He stooped down. He being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He did stoop down, didn't he? Imagine that. Almighty God came down from heaven and dwelt among men. The Lord Jesus Christ, God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the very righteousness of God in Him. Truly, truly, He stooped down. And He wrote on the ground like He didn't hear. And there's speculation of what he wrote down, but the truth is, the Scriptures don't reveal that, do they? It just says He wrote down. And they continued asking. And the Scriptures declare He lifted up Himself and He said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And then He stooped down and continued to write on the ground. And we read that they which heard it, I tell you, if we would truly hear that, I'll tell you, I am quick to throw stones. But if I would truly hear that, I wouldn't be picking up rocks. He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Being convicted by their own conscience, knowing something of their sin. It says they went out from the oldest to the youngest. Just thinking of that scripture in God's Word. Be ye kind, tender hearted, forgiving one another, as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And when everyone left, it was just this woman taken in the very act of adultery. It was just her and the Lord. Can you imagine her? Probably a sense of relief. But can you imagine her guilt? Her shame? Again, she had been taken in the very act and brought before the Lord of glories. And he said, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? What she said, she said, no man, Lord. She knew something about the one who stood before her, didn't she? No man, Lord. And listen to these words. All the relief this must have brought. Neither do I condemn thee. Listen, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God in flesh. Huh? This is the judge we read earlier. This is the judge of the living and the dead. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Over in Romans 8 verse 1, we read there is, therefore now, right now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Neither do I condemn thee. And then he said this. He said, go and sin no more. Now we know that's an impossibility. To sin no more. We constantly need His grace. We constantly need His forgiveness. But you know that lifestyle, there had to be a change there. There had to be. Listen, if Christ truly dwells in us, there has to be a change. That new man dwells within us. Let me ask you this. Is there any question that she was a sinner? Any question at all? Huh? What's that hymn, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment Jesus of pardon receives. Let me ask you this. How was she saved? How was this woman saved? By the grace of God. Just like what we read there in the Scriptures, by the grace of God. Let me ask every one of us, how are we saved? same way, huh? By the grace of God. Just like her. Just like, listen, Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, it's the same story. Dead in trespasses and sins, saved by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear those words. Neither do I condemn thee. Saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy 2, he who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, not by circumcision, not by the deeds of the law, not by anything we've done, but according to his own purpose and grace given us in Christ Jesus. When? Before the world began. Saved by grace. Let's read that passage of Scripture there in Acts 15. One more time in closing. Acts 15, verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Oh, I pray He'd give us grace to believe. That He would, the Lord Jesus Christ, that Almighty God would give us comfort this morning through His Word. All right.